Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. To Lord Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. We hope that you are having a wonderful day and excited to have you with us. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is the Power Hour. And I am joined tonight by my special guest, my lady, my love, Robin. Robin McKean, are you there?
I am here.
All right. And tonight, we are finishing up what's been, what, about 3 months we've been talking about the archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
And all the divine archetypes, you know, maiden, mother, crone, hero, lover, father, sage, magician, sorcerer, whatever. So tonight's show is about wrapping up the whole series. We talked about the sage a few weeks ago, and thought that it would be kind of cool to have your thoughts on all that we've talked about.
Well, you know, I think that when people look at the archetypes, they need to remember that they're not just mythical archetypes. They're not just these concepts. We run across the embodiments of these archetypes every day in our life. And that's why it's so important to be familiar with them and to know them and to be comfortable with them. There will be times where you'll be called upon yourself to step into these roles and know how to deal with the roles when requested of you. And also, you know, from the other standpoint, when you encounter somebody who's in that role, to know where they're coming from. And it gives you sort of a common ground with that person to know, okay, well, you know, they're in that mother stage of their life, or they're in that, you know, prince or sage stage of their life, so that you can at least say, I can understand that, when they may be doing something that you wouldn't normally be able to relate to. And it's a tool. They're tools to use to be able to relate to people, when even when you may not have any particular common ground. And, you know, I'm all about communication and empathy. And, you know, one of my favorite things I always say is, before you judge somebody, walk in their shoes for a little while. And if you can't walk in their shoes, then don't judge them. It's not our job to judge anybody.
Well, this is true. The thing about the archetypes that I guess I want to bring up is that they are not linear, nor are they chronological.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't leave one behind when you move into another.
Right.
You know, looking at the male archetypes, you know, the hero, rushing in where angels fear to tread, you know, taking up causes, that sort of thing. Well, that doesn't necessarily have to stop, with adulthood,
mm-hmm.
By any stretch, nor does that that energy of the young maiden have to end with adolescence. That energy can be picked up and used and channeled at any time in life. Again, following the male archetypes, the lover doesn't stop being the lover because he is, because he becomes a father, or when he moves into the sage. Those exist somewhat concurrently. And depending on the task at hand, depending on what's going on, then you may have to, or you may move from one to another, sometimes in the same day. So that aspect of it is something that we need to keep in our minds. And the mother doesn't stop being a lover also. That awakened maiden doesn't go away. Loving, experimenting, fulfilling that aspect of the awakened maiden doesn't stop being that because she gives birth. And, so all of these can be picked up at different times in our life. The important part to remember is that the energies are there, and we have to work to connect with them and mm-hmm. to understand them. Your point that, understanding where other people are coming from, there are times when I can see you go into mother mode.
Sure.
And while that's not necessarily a time of life, that is a mode that you go into sometimes. And I see that, and I recognize that you're being mother in that moment, and it's best that I play along so as to, not have conflict with the situation where you're working with that energy and dealing with a situation.
Sure.
So by understanding what a person is doing, you can at least empathize.
Right, exactly. It gives you a jumping off point from, okay, well, they're having to visit this archetype or this role in their life. So at least I can understand what they're going through a little bit, or try to empathize with it.
Right. So why don't we recap each of the archetypes?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, we started with the hero because we wanted to go back and forth between the masculine and the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And the maiden kind of gets, two of the male archetypes, the hero and the lover, kind of get lumped together on the feminine side. But we started with the hero. And that young energy, rushing in where angels fear to tread. The grand quest. This is the hero energy. And then the maiden energy. And I'll let you speak to that because you speak on that aspect of it, particularly the two phases.
Mm-hmm.
The innocent versus the young maiden, or innocent maiden versus the awakened maiden.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, exactly. The maiden is, for me, sort of split into two aspects. There is that is played out in the myth of Persephone, where she is referred to as core before Hades abducts her. And it is only once she descends into Hades with the god Hades, and she descends into the underworld with him, that she's referred to after the fact as Persephone, which signifies some change, the change in name. And one would assume, since she has been kidnapped and whisked away to his home, his lair, if you will, that the change is that she's been awakened sexually. And, you know, some of the myths talk about her having that he seduces her, and some of the myths say that he outright rapes her. So it's, you know, but it's inherent that she has been sexually awakened, although she is not yet a mother. So it makes sense to me that you sort of have to look at the maiden in with two aspects. With that you know, innocent young girl who is probably, you know, would be represented in our culture now by, you know, an 8 or 9 or 10-year-old little girl, you know. And then there is the more awakened, say, 16, 17, 18-year-old, you know, just to put this in a modern context for our brains to think on, who's not yet a mother, certainly not ready to be a mother, but is in that sort of awakened practicing stage, if you will.
Okay. And that awakened practicing stage, as you put it, kind of in my mind equates to the lover manifestation or archetype of the god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's that, and there's the inherent sexual exploration that goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
The deepening of feelings, that young manhood or preparation for manhood,
mm-hmm.
that accompanies the coming of age,
right,
and puberty, and all of that sort of thing. And so I feel like those energies, you know, they coincide with the awakened maiden. You know, that's the sort of thing that I see in those two aspects. And it's, you know, while I understand the maiden mother crone has been, you know, traditional, you know, and then there's the four aspects of the god because they follow the solar year, there is that unfortunate, you know, having to look at the maiden and split the maiden into those two aspects. But both of those energies, you know, the young maiden kind of equates to, in my mind, the male aspect of the hero. There's that, you know, taking up of causes and, you know, the huntress very often falls into that kind of category is the way I see it, you know, that pre-awakened maiden who's innocent and excited and exploratory in the world, discovering her world before she discovers herself and her sexuality.
Right.
So those are the way I kind of see those, you know, the younger pre-parental archetypal energies. And all of that energy is there for us. Again, it's not chronological.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times when, there are times in our relationship where we're channeling that much more, you know, that deeper connection between us.
Right.
We're not being mother or father or sage or crone or anything to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are, you know, having that energy for ourselves, for each other. That is the lover and the awakened maiden, and that time that, you know, that any couple spends together. That energy can be, you know, can be channeled and brought forward, connecting with that energy and using it. anyone who's who has been a parent or grandparent can still pull on that energy and still find romance and excitement and the thrill of that level of intimacy. It doesn't have to stop. Do you have to not take up causes or embrace the hero or the young maiden? And that energy of rushing in and taking up the good fight. That energy is certainly available and appropriate at any time of life. So what are your thoughts on that aspect of it?
You mean the fact that it's not chronological and we can sort of
all of that.
Between... Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think that what happens is we take those lessons that we've learned as each of the archetypes through our life, and we can go back and bring them back in. So that if you are, 50 years old, but you need to revisit the lover, or you need to revisit the maiden for some reason, those experiences are there, can't be taken away from you, and you can always go back to them. One of the things that you were talking about was, the hero rushes in where angels fear to tread, and you can take those lessons forward and, actually being a father, truly being a father to children, and a mother too, but I'm using a father as an example. But being a father to children requires bravery. It requires, doing things that you've never done before. So you have to draw on those experiences of the hero and the warrior to be a father. And so this is what I mean. It's like cumulative. If you didn't embrace the hero and the warrior and the lover previously, being a father is going to be more difficult because you're not going to have that wealth of experience to draw on, those steps that you've taken toward being ready to be a father. And the same thing goes, in the feminine perspective. In order to be a mother, to be a truly effective mother, you have to have been through some of those experiences of having your heart broken as the maiden, and some of the trials and tribulations that you might go through. You have to have those experiences under your belt in order to be able to choose the right man to be a father, to recognize, I made that mistake once before. Now I'm going to move forward and try something different. And that's really what it's meant to be. It's meant to say, I have this wealth of experience under my belt that fit these other moments in my life, these other archetypes, if you will. And I can draw on them at any time. I'm sure the first time any man has had to change, a stinky diaper, and he's never, ever, ever done it before, he's had to draw on some bravery there to to venture down that path,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You brought up something I want to get to.
It actually sounds kind of silly, but if you don't ever have the experience of having to do something that you have not maybe wanted to do or had any experience doing before as the hero or the warrior, you haven't taken those adventures, you haven't gone down those paths that were a little bit frightening, when you're faced with that moment for the first time as a father, you may just take that baby and hand it off to your mother and say, here, you do it. And that's really not in your best interest. What's in your best interest is to bond with your child and be brave. Do it yourself.
All right. Well, you actually bring up a point that I'm gonna return to. We covered this to a certain degree when we covered the male aspects.
Mm-hmm.
We kept coming around to this topic, but you remind me of it again. I think we prepare young women to be mothers much more than we prepare young men to be fathers. I think that the women do a better job of preparing their young women to take their rightful place in the tribe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we send up caricatures of manhood and give our young men no idea of what to do with being a father, because we've given them caricatures of the lover or caricatures of the hero, and that energy is not truly embraced or shared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, male spirituality has gotten short shrift.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you hit on something, and it was what you said that struck me, was that if you've not embraced that energy or that archetype before you have to, then you're not prepared for the next one. Mm-hmm. If you've not faced that, embraced that hero energy, and embraced the lover energy, because the lover is not just about sexuality, but it's about the depth of the intimacy. It's about the romance. It's about the courting. It's about the partnership. It's about developing deeper relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't done that before you become a father, then you are cast adrift when this hits. And I think that's one of the reasons that so many men so many men are so ill-prepared to face these challenges, because they've not had good examples, good role models. They've not had someone there that could guide them through and help them to connect to those energies at a younger stage.
Oh, yeah, totally agree. I'm quiet over here because I don't have much to to add, because you pretty much said it.
All right, fair enough. All right, well, there was a question in the chat room, and it's tangential. There's the word of the day. But it's talking about the phases of the moon and the maiden mother crone. And it asks about the dark moon. Is that when, the question here in the chat room says, is that when the mother perishes and becomes the maiden again? And I think actually that's when the crone passes off to be the maiden again. The mother energy is much more at the full moon. Then with the waning moon, it moves into the crone stage. The dark moon itself is the crone's night.
Mm-hmm.
That is the height of the crone energy. And then the next night, with that little fingernail sliver of the new moon, is, to my mind and to my way of thinking, that is the beginning of the maiden energy returning.
Agreed.
As it wanes toward fullness.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the dark moon is the crone's big night. You know, and that is the night for embracing the crone energy, whether you're male or female. In fact, next week, at this same time slot,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be honoring the crone and doing a dark moon ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And the dark moon is about looking within.
Yes.
And
we are one of the few places you can do that on the radio, is to do a dark moon. A lot of people don't do dark moons, and if you've never done one, I think it's really important to your practice and to yourself. Development.
And those of you that have been with us for all of our on-air rituals, you know that we always take a guided meditation. At the full moon, we always go to the temple on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that last week. On Thursday night, I think we were talking about the temple on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
On dark moons, we actually descend into the underworld and spend time with the underworld goddess, the Crone. And we, and I'm always reminded when I talk about the Crone and looking within, and this, my geek streak is coming out. But I'm always reminded of the second Star Wars movie, not the prequels, but the second one. As I get Return of the Empire, Revenge of whatever it was. For some reason, the name is evading me. But the scene where Luke is on Dagobah and he's told to go into the cave to find himself, and he asks, "Well, what will I find in there?" And Yoda says, "Only that which you take."
Mm-hmm. And he goes in, and he finds Darth Vader in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he has to fight him.
Facing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Facing our shadows. Learning who we are within ourselves is sometimes the one of the scariest prospects, and people that don't do the hard work don't fully embrace the know thyself admonition within witchcraft.
Right.
You know, the first rule is to know thyself, and to know thyself you must look within.
Right.
And dark moon rituals and that sort of time with the Crone is certainly an important part of looking within. So we are coming up on the bottom of the hour. What we'll do is let's go ahead and take a break, and then we will come back. And we talked earlier in the show about the younger archetypes. We'll talk a little bit more about the older archetypes, revisit, finish up the conversation about the Crone, look at the mother, father, sage, Crone, and then wrap up the show. So stick around for a few minutes. We're going to play a song called The Serpentine Seduction by the Dragon Ritual Drummers. It sounds like a fun song. I haven't heard this one yet, so I'm looking forward to it myself. Stick around, and we'll be back very shortly.
You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to Lord Terry's Power Hour on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to Lord Terry.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is the Power Hour. And we're joined tonight by Robin McKee, my lady.
Hello.
Are you still there? Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm
right
here.
All right. So, let's see. What? We've got a couple of corrections to make. We've still got to get that business cut fixed. But Thursday nights is no longer me and Onyx. It is now me and Robin. Every Thursday night, answering your questions. So, send in your questions for us to deal with. We'll usually pick two or three questions. We try to put them together in a theme, so we may not get to your question right away, but we certainly do try to group them together so that they flow one into the other and keep a theme for the show going that night. So before the break, we were talking about we were wrapping up our conversation for the last few months on the archetypes, and we were talking about all the archetypes appropriate within our lives, and we talked mainly about the younger archetypes, the hero and the lover and the maiden, both in her innocent form and in her awakened form. I thought after the break we would go ahead and talk some about the older archetypes, and I don't mean necessarily older like old people, but the more mature age groups of the later archetypes, the mother, the father, the crone, and the sage. And there's another question in the chat room returning to the phases of the moon. So why only a triple phase for the goddess and not a quad? Well, from my perspective, I think it's so much. You've got the waning, or you've got the waxing moon, you've got the full moon, and that period of fullness, and then you've got the waxing moon, or waning moon, rather. I'm getting them all confused tonight. So the moon grows during that maiden stage, and you've got the fullness of the mother, and then the diminishing energy of the moon and moves into the crone stage. I don't know where you would split it up with the with four phases. And it's so traditional that going in and tinkering with that would just cause, you know, lynch mobs and, you know, villagers would pitchfork.
Yeah, I think that the delineation, there is no real delineation between the maiden and the awakened maiden. I think that's what she's talking about. And
right.
The only thing you might be able to say would be when a young girl starts to menstruate, that could be the change from you know, the innocent maiden to the awakened maiden. But there's no recognition of that in our culture. Names don't change. There's no ceremony, if you will. But when a woman loses her virginity, there is some sort of acknowledgement, you know, at least within yourself when that happens, about I am no longer a girl, I am now, you know, a woman. And that's sort of one of those cultural, you know, stepping stones, milestones, whatever you want to call it. And I guess that's maybe why it's still considered mother, maiden, crone, although I do believe that there should be some sort of acknowledgement.
Well, yeah,
there are
coming-of-age rituals, and I think women do much better at performing coming-of-age rituals for first menstruation with young women.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a very recent occurrence. I think that for many, many years it was considered you don't talk about it. You know, you don't ever acknowledge that, especially in our American culture. You know, we're so freaked out that, oh my God, you don't tell anybody you're getting your period now. You know, it's just not something you talk about.
Okay. But in today's society, well, in contemporary pagan society,
mm-hmm.
They do a much better job of recognizing that change and that coming of age for young ladies. And mm-hmm. and again, I think that time period, you know, while the church considers anyone who has been through confirmation is now able to vote, you know, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, that person is now a full adult member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And in an earlier time, they may have been ready to, at that point in their life, begin to assume adult responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much today.
Yeah.
I think in today's society, those mark the beginnings of the time of learning how to be a woman or a young man.
Mm-hmm.
We recognize this change has taken place, and now it is a time to begin to learn what it is to be a woman, what it is to be a man. And that's how those rituals should be handled, in my opinion. In the chat room, there's talking about you know, all the aunts, sisters, mothers, and the family, everybody got together and circled around the young lady and helped her to understand the changes that were taking place.
Yeah.
And, you know, while that may not have been handled, you know, very publicly, all the women circled around and, you know, certainly help people to, young ladies to understand what was going on.
I didn't have that. I just had my mother tell me, yeah, this is what's going to happen to you every month for the rest of your life. Here's a pad. Enjoy it.
Yeah, well, we'll not go there. So I have my own commentary on that statement, and I'll skip it for now. But I think that young men miss out on that kind of, the men of the tribe taking him aside and saying, okay, these changes are starting to happen to you, and, start teaching the young man about responsibilities and all of that kind of stuff, and that doesn't happen.
See, I always thought men might handle it very differently, but it was handled in a way, like, for example, your dad or your uncle, nudges you with the elbow. It's the old Monty Python nudge, nudge, wink, wink thing, and says, here's a Playboy magazine,
and that's about it. Here's a Playboy, figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's helpful. Gee, I mean, wow, I'm going to learn so much. Please, there's nothing in there that teaches young men about, responsibility. There's no, you think women don't want to talk. Well, my experience has been the women will circle the wagons, and the men are like, like this young man's supposed to know what to do with himself and all of this energy. And then we turn them over to the TV and the media to teach them how to be men. Oh, for the love of all that is holy, is that a debacle? Look at what we've done with that.
Yeah.
So, I don't think the young men get anything in the way of that kind of training where they're taught to be real men, not the caricature that you get from media and TV. So we are the quarter away from the top of the hour. So we haven't really talked yet about the mother and father. You've mentioned them in previous comments, but that mother and father energy, that paternal energy. And there was a question in the chat room, and I actually copied this before it got away. And I want to jump on this real quick. So the question was asked, so you think there is a less definition between mother and father roles as a result of how our society has evolved into two-income lifestyle? And what I'm presuming the person is asking, and I'm going to state my restatement of the question as I understand it and wait for confirmation in the chat room. But what I understand the question is the difference between the father role and the mother role is becoming less defined now that we have both mother and father working outside the home, that the mother and father roles have gotten to a certain degree more muddied up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lines are certainly being blurred.
And while you expect the mother energy to be much more in the nurturing and the father energy being the, providing for the family and protecting the family and, all of those kind of, if you look at tribal cultures, you look at the father and you look at the mother and those definitions of their roles.
Mm-hmm.
In contemporary society, yeah, I think there is a muddying, a blurring of the line.
Mm-hmm.
I know you were about to say something and I kept going, so please jump in.
I think that in general, that is true. There has been a blurring of the line, in particular because women do have to work now. And it's unfortunate that in some ways the line hasn't been blurred even more, because what happens today is most women even in, you know, this, you know, enlightened society we supposedly live in, most women still have to go to work 9 to 5 or whatever their work hours are. They're working 40, 45 hours a week and are still coming home and doing the classic household duties that the mom would normally have done, you know, the house cleaning, the laundry, the cooking, the shopping, all of that stuff. So now she has two jobs instead of each of them having a outside the home job and then contributing together. It's very few couples you see where there's an even division of work around the home amongst the two, the mother and the father. Generally, the mother still has to work outside the home and still do the majority of the mother, the classic mother stuff. You know, all that housework, all that things that moms do. And it, you know, it led to a few years ago to the whole term supermom, you know, because moms had to do everything. And although you know, I'm lucky now, you know, because Terry, because you're pretty good at that. I mean, if you see that there's a pile of laundry and I'm doing something else, you'll you know, step right in and do the laundry. But you were a single dad, and so you have a slightly different perspective. You know what it's like to go to work all day long and come home and have to do all that stuff and no one there to help you. But most men don't. Most men, they come home and, you know, their dinner is there and, you know, they might help out with the dishes maybe if you're lucky. And then they're going to sit on the couch and watch TV, or they're going to go out to their wood shop and work on something, or they're going to do whatever it is they do while you're stuck in the kitchen, you know, cleaning the meal, making lunches for tomorrow, doing laundry, whatever it is. And it's unfortunate that it has turned into that, and that men have not seen how much more women are doing, because it's been this slow attrition. I honestly think that women in general got screwed. I'm going to get, send your letters and yeah. And complaints about these next comments.
Look forward to your letters.
That's right. I think women got
screwed. org@gmail.com. Yeah.
There you go. I think women terribly got screwed by the women's liberation movement, and I don't think that was the intention. Certainly, you know, I think women should be allowed to work outside the home. However, I think when they came up with that formulation, they weren't thinking that we were going to be working outside the home and getting paid 75 cents on the dollar to what men get paid for the same job. And they also weren't thinking that we were going to still get stuck doing everything else that we normally had to do. So although women have had to make all these changes in their lives, we're now working outside the home and we're still coming home and being the primary caregiver for our children and still being the primary household, you know, keeper. Men, their lives have not changed that much on the whole from the 1950s. They still come home and get dinner. They still have their laundry done, and it still appears in their drawers magically for most of them. There really has not, you know, other than their wife being home all day and maybe being there to, you know, handle things during the day from home for them, they haven't had to undergo the same kind of radical change in perspective and work and hours worked and you know, that women have. And you know, I read a statistic not that long ago that something like 60% of women today in this country have more than one job, where only 25% of men have more than one job. And now some of that, I'm sure, is due to the whole single mom thing. There are a lot of single moms out there that have to have two jobs in order to make ends meet.
Right. Well, I mean, you have to have two incomes in a house.
Yeah.
To make ends meet these days.
Mm-hmm.
That was another unintended, you know, the law of unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, we had, you know, it was a luxury for the woman to go out and work. And usually that was a part-time job that she could do during the day while the kids were at school, and then she'd still come back. And
and
that was a luxury so that the family could have a little extra. But now it's at the point where, you know, both members of the family have to work. Yeah, both parents have to work you know, there's no single income that's going to support a family in most, you know, with the exception of the top, you know, 10% maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, the woman tends to work.
Yeah.
So you know, there is that kind of law of unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. And you know, and Trev's talking in the chat room about the different roles, the outside chores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we do sort to a certain degree have that kind of breakdown. You know, I do take care of the yard and the mowing and the picking up stuff and the, you know, we built, you know, I got the, you know, the guys to help me build the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cut those quarter stones. I did that myself, you know, while you were taking care of stuff in the house. And, you know, but at the same time, you're absolutely right. I can, you know, I can pitch in with the laundry. I help pick up around the house. And I generally do that as a matter of course, just because, like you said, I was a single father. And, you know, I had a great deal of experience dealing with that as a single parent. So, but again, that goes back to we still aren't preparing our young men to be men.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the paradigm has changed. But we're not teaching the young men how to be a part of this.
Yeah.
They've not developed that relationship. They've not had that time with the lover manifestation or the lover archetype to understand how to be a partner in the relationship. Because we're not teaching them.
Well,
we're
they
turning
don't see
them
you
over
by example
to the
anymore. Yeah, the kids in general are not seeing a traditional mom and dad role relationship anymore. They don't see, and basically a lot of this is due to, you know, mom might be home during the day and then dad comes home and mom goes to work because that's the only way they can manage having the kids and having two incomes. And I see it all the time. So they're passing in the night. So you don't see a lot of interaction sometimes from the kids, you know, with their parents. They might, if they're lucky, they might see them together one day during the week, on the weekends, if they're lucky. I know several people who have kids who have that schedule where, you know, one of the parents is at work during the day, and when they come home, the other one goes to work. So that somebody's home, you know, 24 hours a day, but never together. One of my friends calls it tag team single parenting. And so the kids don't get to see how they're supposed to relate to one another. And, you know, girls are not being brought up. They're not having to take care of their younger sisters and brothers. They're not having to, you know, help their mom cook meals because moms aren't there to cook meals. It is definitely changing the landscape of our culture.
Yeah, and as it changes, I mean, we need to prepare these people to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to find a way and take the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we are curling rapidly toward the top of the hour. And I did want to talk a little bit about connecting with these manifestations, these aspects of the archetype, you know, these archetypes of the divine. And so go ahead and be prepared. We're going to run probably about 10 minutes late tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest way to do this, in my opinion, in my experience, I have found, I'm pretty good at meditating. I've been doing it for so many years, I can, you know, slip into that, you know, meditative state with relative ease. We do a lot of guided meditations here in our rituals on Tuesday nights. But find some way to meditate. Guided meditation, it occurred to me in the preparation for this show that we do a lot of guided meditations at the Sabbats to deal with different aspects, you know, the divine couples, usually at the Sabbats. And then we do deal with the mother at the full moons, and then at the, you know, periodic dark moons that we do, we deal with the crone. And it is perhaps time that I put together some guided meditations specific to each archetype to assist people with some guided meditations to help them. But until that is done, don't hesitate to spend time contemplating, reading about, searching out that energy and try to embrace it. The, you know, the sage energy recently hit me like a lightning bolt coming down the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is something that I was not anticipating by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, I guess, prepared for it as well as anyone can be. You know, because I have spent time in meditation, I've spent time dealing with the archetypal energies. So,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on connecting with the archetypes?
Well, I agree with you. Meditations is a great way to do that, and but also on a practical. In a practical sense, you know me, I'm always practical in my approach,
mm-hmm.
is to look around in your life and see, you know, what time in my life did I have to do the warrior thing? At what time in my life did I have to be the maiden? At what time in my life was I the mother? What time in my life am I now, or was I the crone? Because, as we said, they're not necessarily linear in nature. They you sort of morph in and out of them as needed. Certainly, you know, being a mother, I'm 52. Most people would not be thinking about being a mother at 52. But that chronological age does not have anything to do with it. If you were 15 and you were babysitting somebody else's kid, you were channeling the mother because you were caretaking. So, and that's where you begin to learn that you know, mother aspect is how am I supposed to nurture this child that's in my care for this short period of time. So, and then as we grow older, we revisit, we may be chronologically in our crone state, but we revisit that with our grandchildren. And it's one of the things people say all the time about, oh, I love my grandkids. I loved my kids, but my grandkids are special because I don't have all the headache that goes with raising them. I just get to have them for a little while, have fun with them, and, you know, nurture them a little bit and be there for them and then give them back. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you never really, so that's like a metaphor for never really losing, you know, that mother energy. You get to maintain that for the rest of your life, you know, through grandchildren or other people's kids being, you know, the great aunt, as it were, having friends, younger friends that have kids that you help out with. It can run the gamut. I know for me,
well, the way I get to be Pappy on the mountain, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Now for me, when Persephone was first born, I had a lot of stuff going on. You know, Jimmy was sick, and I had this new baby, and I'd go over to Roseanne. She's in the chat room tonight. I'd go over to Roseanne's house and just sit there and veg out mentally for like 4 hours. And, you know, she'd play with Perry and keep her occupied and talk to me and keep me sane. And that was, you know, so important to me. And so what was she doing? She was mothering me. She was being my mother and Perry's grandmother. And so she's nurturing my child but also nurturing me. And so there's the mother, you know, evident, even though she wasn't physically a mother anymore and chronologically would not have been in that stage in her life. But you never forget. And I'll always be grateful for that. She just wrote, "Now I'm nuts." You're not nuts, Ro.
Well, who said she wasn't nuts then?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, and then Trev asked the question, should boys be encouraged to babysit also, practice being fathers?
Absolutely. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting idea.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
I think that.
Go ahead and wrap up because we need to slide out of here. We'll both have to work tomorrow.
Yeah, this is true. Okay, so to wrap up, the archetypes are important at every stage of our lives. We need to find ways every day and in every situation. Which ones are we connecting with? Who do we need to embody in this situation? Use them as tools to help you. Once you familiarize yourself with them and you start working with them, it'll get easier and easier, and it'll only benefit you. My other thing is, wherever you are in your life, know that there is a comfort in whatever stage you're at, because somebody somewhere has been there before. And generally, there's an archetype or some aspect of an archetype that will go along with wherever you are. And you know, there are I forget who said it. There are no new experiences. Everybody has been through what you're going through, and you can always tap into that energy and take strength from it, and know that you're not alone in it. And there are other people who've walked through this and survived it and come out the other end better. And if they can do it, by darn, you can too. So, and the archetypes are a great tool in those situations to look at them and say, hey, you know, somebody else was there. I can use this energy and move through this.
Yeah, help me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, embracing that energy. Knowing that the tools are there, again, we talk all the time about developing relationships with the divines. And, you know, it may be that you work with the archetypal energy. It may be that you work with a particular god and, you know, god and goddess that embody these particular energies. The Dagda falls into the, you know, the father and the sage or sorcerer, that kind of role. And Lou, that I work with, really falls into that, hero and lover.
Yeah.
So knowing that I have this relationship with those two that I can call on is a great deal of comfort. Bridget, depending on how you pronounce it, is certainly is one of those wonderful triplicates that I don't have to call on three different names.
Right.
Breed certainly takes care of all but the dark energy, the dark moon aspects of the crone are all fall within the purview of Bridget or Breed. So I will call on them rather than the archetypes in a lot of cases, because I have that existing relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it all comes down to developing a relationship. And yes, you can work specifically with the archetypal energy. You don't have to work with a particular god or goddess. I think it's important that you do at some point. But for the purpose of this conversation, it is possible to work with the archetypal energy in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then Niv is saying something that I say all the time about listen.
Yeah.
Listen. Sit down, shut up, and listen. The answers will be there if you ask and you listen.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of that said, I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. It's been a fun show. It's been interesting. It's been a great series. Robin, thank you for sharing this with me and adding your thoughts and your practicality to the conversation. This is, what I guess, about the ninth show we've done on the archetype, finishing up the series. So I want to thank you for being a part of it. And again, thank all of our listeners, whether you're live, whether you're listening in the archives, whether you're in the chat room, or tuned in through any number of the ways that you can get to the show. We're here for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly let us know if you have ideas for show topics, anything you'd like to hear me talk about, any ideas for guests. Certainly, email us at the radio station, cern.org@gmail.com. Now, my lady, how does someone get in touch with you? And I guess you can fill in the Littlestone Bridge stuff as well.
Yep. You can email me at littlestonebridge@gmail.com, of course. You can find me on my Facebook page, Robin, which is R-O-B-I-N. Middle initial A, McKean, M-C-K-E-A-N, on Facebook. Also, I just want to remind everybody that this Friday and Saturday is the crystal sale for Crystal Cave, and that is going to be at the Garden at Thunder Hill, a center for spiritual evolution and I'm going to spell this because I can't say this. It's the name of the town, R-E-N-S-S-E-L. A-E-R-V-I-L-L. That's in New York State. And that's going to be this Friday beginning at 10. And we had a guest, Rachel, oh boy, I'm tired, Rachel Ginther, and you can check her out, or you can go to Crystal Cave, the page. I will be there hopefully on Friday if all goes according to plan. And I hope some of you come out and see me. If not, check out the catalog at Crystal Cave Rocks at gmail.com, and if you send them an email, they will send you a PDF version of their catalog. So I just wanted to remind everybody about that. That's this Friday. And that all the proceeds from that benefits Kathy, who's been a friend of mine for many, many years. So that's an important thing to me. Other than that, they can reach the station. I think, did you give that email address earlier?
Yeah, the email address for the station is cern.org@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Robin and I share an email address as littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
CERN, Spiritual Unity Radio Network, Facebook page, go check it out. We've got show announcements for all the shows coming up. And click like so that we know that you're around. And you can also check out spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Let's see, Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page, where you can see what Robin and I have coming up and some of the things that we're doing. And again, when you go to these pages, click like so that we know that you're there.
Yeah,
and
that helps
a lot. That you've seen something, that you've seen something that's meaningful to you, and you know, me personally, you can, the easiest way to find me is the public figure page. That's Rev Terry Power HP, and same thing, like the page, please, or follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. Now,
you mentioned that, you know, if they wanted to, they could go and see what we're doing, but we can give a quick synopsis of the places we're going
to
be.
Yeah, we're just getting ready to do that. Go ahead.
Ah,
jump on
there
it.
You go. Well, I think, what did we say? June 20th here at the mountain, we're going to be doing a midsummer ritual, and there's some people coming. So if you are a personal friend of ours and you'd like to attend, please email me. And that's really
Or if you're in the area and don't have anyone to work with and you would like to start working with, you know, some people,
mm-hmm.
If you're in that central PA area,
mm-hmm.
send us an email, littlestonebridge.
Yeah, littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Contact us and we'll talk a little bit and then maybe even arrange a go-to meeting so I can, you know, we can talk face-to-face and invite you up to the house. I think that it's a great way to get to know people at first. And the other thing is the following weekend, the 27th and the 28th of June, Terry and I will be teaching three workshops actually together at Horn and Honey, which is in, where is that, Indiana?
Well, Midian is the name of the campsite, and it's in Indiana. It's in southeast Indiana, about 30 miles north of French Lick, I think. Mm-hmm. There's another city nearby, and I can't remember. I can always remember French Lick.
French Lick, I was just going to say.
French Lick, Indiana. No, I used to go to a lot of events at a campsite that's actually, the address is French Lick for Our Haven. But this site's about 20, 30 minutes north of that. But it's the site's Midian, and it's in southeast Indiana. So we are both excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see a lot of the people that I used to event with over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited to see some old friends and to make some new friends. We're going to be teaching workshops. And if the technology will play nice, we are going to do a live remote on the Saturday of the event, which I believe is the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the Saturday of that weekend is, we're going to do a live remote from the site, the communication gods mm-hmm. cooperating. So I'll be sending up prayers to Oma and Hermes and whoever else you want to send prayers to. You know, please help us communicate with the outside world from the site at Midian.
Yep. The other thing that's kind of exciting is Terry and I are going to be putting together some webinars on sacred sexuality, communication for couples, maybe doing a series of that. So look for those announcements on Facebook and for us to talk about it here on the radio as well. Really invaluable information. I wish I had had it years ago. It would have saved me maybe a divorce or two.
Well, a lot of what we're going to be talking about in this series is stuff that we've learned individually from painful experience.
Yes.
That we are bringing into our relationship
mm-hmm.
and sharing it with others.
Mm-hmm.
It's all experiential, just like our religious paths, our faiths,
mm-hmm.
and our walk with the divine. It's all experiential.
Right.
And we
both have some credentials here as well. I mean, I certified the holistic health coach, and during that have to do some counseling, reevaluation counseling with people, and I've been trained to do that. And, you know, you've been an ordained minister and been doing spiritual counseling for, 25 years? And there are other things. So this isn't just two people who've, you know, made mistakes and are speaking from their mistakes, but we've also had some professional training here. So I don't want people to think, you know, hey, I could talk to the kid next door and, you know, the old lady next door and get the same advice. No, you're going to get a unique perspective because we approach things from different ways. And
unless that's a wild old lady next door, no, you're probably not going to get these answers from her.
Exactly.
mm-hmm. All right. Well, it is 17 minutes after the hour, and we're going to say goodnight now.
Okay. Whatever you say.
So,
yeah. I'm easy.
So I want to thank everybody for being with us. We love you guys, and we're honored that you join us and take time out of your life to share with us on these nights. So May you have a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Good night. Blessed be all and spread the love.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.